السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا. وقال: وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and our sisters who will be listening over receivers, and those who are listening over streaming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is an embodiment of perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any defects, from any faults, from any blemishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an embodiment of perfection. And this is our aqidah and our belief. And we say subhanallah. One of the translations of subhanallah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is free from any blemish or defect. There can be no fault and defect in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is our aqidah and our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, al-hakim, all knowledgeable, all wise. In Arabic there is a saying, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ, that the action and the activity of a wise person will never be devoid of wisdom. In other words, everything that a wise person does, there will always be some hikmah and there will always be some wisdom behind it. Therefore, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, and everything that He creates, and every order that He has decreed, there will always be some hikmah and some wisdom behind it. There will be a reason. Yes, due to the limitations of our intellect and our intelligence, sometimes we as individuals, we study, we go to school, perhaps we go to universities, we go to Darul Ulooms, a person gets his degrees and his PhD, he goes into the Darul Uloom, he becomes an alim, he becomes a mufti, and he excels academically. And then sometimes a person, especially if the person doesn't have the correct tarbiyah and nurturing, he really starts feeling that now I've reached a point of intellect, that there is nothing now beyond my intelligence. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, that above every intelligent one, remember there is Alim, Allah Ta'ala, whose intelligence is beyond us. In fact, it could be said that where the intelligence of man ends, that is where the rationale of Allah Ta'ala commences. Allah Ta'ala is beyond our understanding. The orders of Allah Ta'ala are beyond our comprehension. And therefore, if man is going to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will come a point where it will be beyond him. That is why it is mentioned, كَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Ponder over the creation of Allah Ta'ala, do not ponder over Allah Ta'ala. This is because Allah Ta'ala is beyond our understanding. We have heard this example by our late Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to give this example quite often, that a person, he has the scale which the jeweler uses. If you go to the jewelry stores, they have a little scale that is very sensitive. It measures minute grams of gold and silver. So it's very sensitive. Sometimes you get scales that are even more sensitive. One individual showed us a scale. It's encapsulated in glass. And as soon as you open the glass door, already you find that the reading on the scale starts moving. You can even pick up the movement and the breathing of an individual. So that scale is very sensitive. And it's got its limitations. So you see, that person takes that scale that the jeweler uses. And then he goes to the Kruger National Park. And he says that, oh, elephants of Kruger National Park, come here, I want to measure and weigh you. I want to see what's your weight. So as I used to say that scale will be totally obliterated. In fact, if that elephant has to sneeze through, that scale will be destroyed. Why? Because the scale, the weight of the elephant is beyond the capacity of the scale. In the same way, man's intelligence, our akal and our logic, no matter how qualified we may be, and no matter how we may have excelled academically, it is beyond the ability and capacity to understand the hikmah of that being who is unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. So therefore, the only solution for man and for us as believers is submission. And that is what Islam is all about. We submit ourselves to the command of Allah, though it doesn't make sense. We came out of the months of Hajj recently. So there a person knows that in the 5 days of Hajj, Al-Hajju Arafah, one of the main cornerstones of Hajj is that a person has to spend time on the plains of Arafah. The wukuf of Arafah commences after Zawal. So the person has to spend that time in Arafah. Now if a person says, well, you know, this plains of Arafah, I mean, there's just trees here. It's just a simple barren land. Few kilometers away is Haram. The Haram of Makkatul Mukarrama, wherein if a person performs Salah, it is multiplied 100,000 times. So I, instead of going to the plains of Arafah, I would rather go into the precincts of the Haram and I will engage in Dhikrullah. And inshallah, I have hope for great reward. That individual can go to any mufti and ask him that, is your Hajj valid or not? Though he went to such a Mubarak place, but now the order and the command of Allah Ta'ala was this, that you will leave the Haram of Makkatul Mukarramah and you will now spend your time on the plains of Arafah. It doesn't make sense to us. There's lots of things that doesn't make sense. One individual came to one of our ulama and he said, you see, I am such an individual that first any command and any law that I hear, first I measure it with my intelligence, and if it makes sense to me, then I do it. And if it doesn't make sense to me, then I leave it out. So he said, well, if that's the case, there's so many things in Sharia that doesn't make sense to you. So he said, like what? So he says, well, one of the things that breaks our wudu is when a person passes wind. When a person passes wind, this is known as from amongst the nawaqid wudu. A person's wudu is broken. So he says, now, when you passed wind, where did you pass wind from? From a certain area. But when you make wudu, which areas do you wash? If your logic, if you had to measure it with your logic, then your logic would have said that, you know, I need to go to the toilet and make istinja, because the wind came out from one place. But here we are told in Sharia that you wash your hands and you wash the four faraid of wudu, that we'll wash our face, we wash our arms, including the elbows, masa of the head, washing our feet, including the ankles. Now, what has that got to do with wind coming out? But a Muslim, this is, doesn't make sense to us. But it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, I am a abd of Allah ta'ala. I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, I submit myself to the command of Allah ta'ala, though it doesn't make sense to my logic. That is what Islam is all about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability to submit ourselves to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person will have to go to the plains of Arafah. He will have to submit himself to the command of Allah ta'ala. Though his logic says there is more thawab in engaging in dhikr in the precincts of the Haram. So this is what Shariat is all about. Now that Allah, who is absolutely perfect, an embodiment of perfection, Allah ta'ala says in the Quran and Majeed, with regards to this deen of Islam. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi Kareem Sa'asim that, oh Nabi of Allah, the gist of the ayah is that this deen of Islam, this religion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we who claim to be the followers of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this deen that we have, Allah has said that I have perfected it. I have perfected it. Now we know that when somebody produces something, then depending on the degree of meticulousness and the standards of quality control, that is the kind of product that will emerge. The higher the standards of quality, the higher the quality of the product. Now that being who is perfect, who has got absolutely no deficiency, he has said that I have perfected your deen. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, if an individual is finding a fault with regards to any command of Sharia, he says that this parda now, you know, today we have to understand, we're living in a new society. It doesn't make sense to me. As far as keeping the full beard now, you know, this today we're living in a new society and we have to move with the times. A Muslim is that individual that he influences others, he is not influenced by others. He influences others, he is not influenced by others. So, Allah Ta'ala has said that I have perfected your deen. Now if a person walks into a room and he's wearing red glasses, white room, the walls are painted white. So now he says, you know, this room is looking very red. What's happened? Why you painted all the walls red? So we'll say to him, like, brother, the walls are white. The problem is you're wearing red glasses. That's why everything is appearing to be red. The problem is with us, that our iman has become so weak. Our ishq and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become so weak. Our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become so weak. We've lost conviction in Allah. As if Allah ta'ala will make a mistake. That being who is perfect, we sometimes doubt it. Allah ta'ala probably made a mistake here. You know, this deen is not for all times. This deen of Islam has been perfected by Allah ta'ala till the day of Qiyamah. It is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be till the day of Qiyamah. Ashal, ajmal, akmal. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our yaqeen in Sharia. So by ways of introduction, we were mentioning this here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being who is perfect, this entire process of creating us, bringing us into existence, Allah ta'ala has done this for a specific reason. In our introduction, we mentioned that Allah Ta'ala does everything for a specific reason. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran and Majeed. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. O man, do you think we have created you in vain? Do you think we've created you without any reason? Without any purpose? Without any goal and objective? Remember that we will have to be returning to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We will have to stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We will have to account for every single moment and every single second and every single penny and every single rand and cent that we have spent. Every single word that has emerged from our mouths, we will have to account for. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, there is not a statement that comes out of your mouth except that it is recorded. Except that it is recorded. That is why the ulama-i-kiram have mentioned, ke pehle socho, phir tolo, phir bolo. At first, think very carefully. What you're going to say. Then, measure what you're going to say. Do some quick analysis that this what I'm going to say, and this what I am going to be saying, is it beneficial? Is there a need for it? Will it be harmful? Will it be hurtful? Once you've decided and you'll be able to make the correct decision, then utter that statement. Otherwise, it'll be that a person will regret the statements that he had uttered. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So respected elders and brothers, we have been sent into this world for a mission, for a purpose. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. This dunya is the plantation for the akhirah. We have got limited time. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said, ni'matani maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. With regards to two bounties, man is deluded. He falls into error. He falls into deception. As-sihhatu والفراغ. Good health and free time. When a person has got good health, he says, it's fine, I'm healthy, inshallah, we'll see. When the time comes right, then we'll do a'mal. Now I need to use all my energies in touring the world and seeing this place and doing that. I don't need to give up sins, I'm still fit and healthy. When I get old and weak, then I'll give it up. والفراغ, free time. The person has got free time. And respected elders and brothers, I want to touch on this particular issue, which has become of great concern in our society. We sometimes have to speak about relevant issues. And this is with regards to the social media platforms. Today we are living in a different world. In those days, social gatherings would be where we'd meet together, we'd converge on each other's homes, have a family gathering, families would sit together, friends would sit together, and they would discuss in this manner. Today, that has moved into a different realm, into a different world. We are discussing and we talk about a virtual world. And you will find very often we'll be sitting in a social gathering, and each person will be in his own world. On the cell phone, each person will be in his own world. He's got his circle of friends. He's got his circle and groups. And they'll be sitting in that gathering, and each person will be engaged in that. When we are discussing, we are addressing ourselves as well. We are not excluding ourselves. This is for the benefit of myself and all of us. It has become a reality. We have to change our modus operandi. We have to change the manner in which we're going to be doing things. As parents, we need to change our strategy. We are losing our children. As recently, some youngsters discovered some of these social platforms, we don't even know how it works. But you get this Instagram, for example. So this Instagram, we didn't even know how it operated. But because sometimes we're dealing with these things, we have to understand it. So now the person outwardly, he appears to be, mashallah, kurta, topi, the beard is there. And alhamdulillah, he goes into the masjid, sometimes he's in the first surf, he's engaged in activities of deen. Apparently, it appears that the person, apparently, it seems that he is, mashallah, a very good person, engaged in good company, good activities. But the reality is that on this cell phone and these social media platforms, the person, most of his free time is spent in those circles. You find the person is following so many people on this Instagram and Facebook. And some of those people have got absolutely no iman. They have got absolutely no love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of them are the direct agents of shaitan. The direct agents of shaitan, and the person is following that individual. Now if we say that, listen, let's have a gathering. You've got such and such actor. He will be coming and he will be having a small little get together in a certain hotel. So we who are seated here with our kurta and topi, would we go and sit with that person? We say, no, I'm also going to go and I will sit in his company and I want to be close to him. We'll all say, la hawla wa la, I've got nothing to do with that person. He's far away from deen. I will not go there. But look at how shaitan has cleverly and innovated this social media platform. Now a person can get into the suhbat of these individuals, into the companionship of these individuals, without anyone realizing. The person can be sitting right next to his wife, and he can be admiring some actress or some singer that is in America, who dress absolutely indecently. So we don't realize that we are losing our youth, and parents have to be extremely vigilant. We should take the trouble and go to the tape library. The library here is one kitab of Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, titled Removing the Safety Net. Each parent should read this absolutely carefully. You know, when we buy a car, when you buy a cell phone, when you buy some new product, there's a manual. There's an owner's manual. And we take the trouble of going through it. How do you operate this? How do you switch it on? What are the features? What are the functions? Take it like that. As a parent, this is an owner's manual for me, how to bring up my children in today's society. It is so relevant. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, just the title itself, though figurative, what a beautiful connotation. Just as a person has a swimming pool. So when he's got a swimming pool, he makes sure that he's got a safety net. If he doesn't have a safety net, then we'll say that he's negligent. And if a child has to fall inside and drown, then we will say this was total negligence. He didn't put a safety net around the pool. Now as a result, the child has lost his or her life. That was negligence. That was ghaflat. Sometimes the person could be charged. As parents, when it comes to these social media platforms, parents are just giving their children the cell phone, free access. Parents don't even know how these social media platforms work. The child doesn't have the ability to decide. The child doesn't have the ability to control their emotions. Especially in their teens, their emotions are very high. They give in to their emotions. And now suddenly they start posting personal pictures on these social media platforms. And sometimes, once it gets onto that social media and onto the internet, it can never be retrieved. Sometimes the reputation of the child has been totally destroyed. So effectively, by us giving the child total freedom, we are effectively destroying our own children. And this is why as parents, we have to be extremely vigilant. That supervision has to be like, you would say, you know, like a hawk. We have to watch our every movement of the child. Why is my child behaving strangely? Who are the friends of my child? Who are the associates? What kind of habits is my child picking up? Remember that to be a parent is a great responsibility. Great responsibility. Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyyati." Each and every one of you is a shepherd. Each and every one of you has got a responsibility. And each and every one of you will be questioned with regards to that responsibility which we have had. Today, unfortunately, we are living in a world where everything is convenience. We are looking for convenience. So as parents too, we are looking for the easy way out. I don't have time to sit with my child. So just give him a cell phone. So he'll be preoccupied. My work is sorted out. My work is sorted out, but we don't realize that what we are doing, it's like the example of a parent who says, I'm putting this cobra and I'm giving this snake to my child. And I hope that he'll be able to charm the snake and keep the snake under control. And then when the snake bites and when the poison goes through the body of the child, then the parents are crying. So we have to be very, very careful. Remember that that cell phone, if we need to give our child a cell phone, because he needs to contact us for some reason, but if he's going to the school, then if there's some emergency, the school generally will have the contact details. If he's going to the madrasa, the Hizb Ustad probably has the contact details. If he's going for some kind of coaching, then the coach too will have some kind of contact details and we'll have the contact details. If he's going through the transport, the lift club, so the lift club will have contact details and we'll have their contact details. So what's the need then for the cell phone? And if we have to give that cell phone to our children, then we should give the cell phone that has no access to the internet. And we should say that, listen, until you don't get married, I will not be giving you this kind of... As soon as you get married, then no problem, we will give you that. Then your wife can supervise. And then you must give your wife free access to your phone. Don't hide anything. She should know your password too. Let her be able to go through everything. I mean, there's nothing to hide. She should be able to see everything. If a person has got a password and is hiding it, so you must know that something is hiding. Why doesn't he want the wife to know what's the password? Of course, unless it's got to do with online banking or something, then it's not advisable to give the wife the password, because then your finances will be wiped. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, respected elders and brothers, to protect our children. We do not want to lose our children. This is the future of Islam. These are the flowers of Islam. We do not realize that sometimes the person has got a good home. The tarbiyah is taking place. The ta'aleem is taking place. Everything is fine. The child is sometimes going to a wonderful institute. But unfortunately, the parents have given the child this dangerous tool. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we need to be very careful. We need to re-look at this. Revisit this. People are... Even if we look at the world out there, and those who are not Muslims, those who don't have Iman, they are saying the same things. Let us rather, as fathers, when it comes to our sons, let us plan some activities for our children. Good halal activities. Let's go for some hiking. Let's go for fishing. Spend quality time with our children. Pass over those qualities that we have developed within our hearts to our children. Let us rather engage and bring up our children in a healthy manner. Our parents did it for us, so therefore we should... It's only fair that we pass it on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. So respected elders and brothers, shaitan, after careful thought, has innovated this. Of course, we don't say that everything on the internet is bad. And we don't say that everything should be scrapped. There's definitely benefit. But if it's given to a person who doesn't have the ability to control it, then unfortunately this is going to be, the consequences are going to be disastrous. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, by way of conclusion, we once again repeat the same thing, that we need to be very, very cautious how we spend our own time. Free time that we have, this is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even our free time should be used for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by this, I don't mean that a person should sit at home with the tasbih and be whole day reciting the dhikr of Allah and making tilawat of Quran Sharif. Even spending quality time with one's family with the correct intention will fall under the dhikr of Allah. That, Ya Allah, it is your command that I should sit with my family. I should bring happiness to their heart. And therefore, Ya Allah, I'm bringing happiness to their heart. So a person is remembering Allah at that point. That too will fall under the dhikr of Allah. A person has got parents who are sick. And we've heard this so many times from Hazrat Mu'in Sahib Rahmatullah. A person has got parents who are sick. So, and he goes out of his way making khidmat for his parents. And perhaps he couldn't spend so much of time in the masjid. Extra time in the masjid. But that, his service, rendering that service to his parents, that too will be regarded as the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, it will be a means of great rewards for him because he will earn the du'as of his parents. And for the youth, on conclusion, I would appeal to the youth that you need to take advantage of the du'as of your parents. And by this I mean that sometimes a youngster will say, let me go to my father and say, oh, my father, make du'a for me. So that is in its place. But rather you should do such actions. You should engage in such activities that the parents automatically make du'a for you. We had one parent who came one night and he said that, Ramana, I just like to say something, that you know, the son of ours, you know, he makes such khidmat in the home. And the father burst out crying. He said that, you know, I've got a sickly wife, but when my wife is sick and sometimes I've got to go out for business, this young boy, he takes over the whole home, he makes khidmat of the wife, he cooks the food, he sees to all the needs, and his father was tearing. So afterwards I mentioned to the youngster, I said, you see, mashallah, you, without even asking for the du'as of your parents, you have got the du'as. And those are the du'as that will make a person fly very high. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, those of us who have our parents alive, let us find a place within their hearts, and inshallah, you will earn the du'as of our parents. Of course, we are referring to the parents who are parents in the true sense of the word. Of course, you get many parents who unfortunately, instead of being selfless, they become selfish. They do not look at the responsibilities of the child. Sometimes the child, the son has got his wife, he's got his children. Now those parents become selfish. So those parents are those kind of demands, that son obviously has to be very careful and diplomatic. And we're not referring to those kind of parents. Those parents who are parents in the true sense of the word, who are selfless. If we earn their du'as, inshallah, we will go very, very far. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the condition of the ummah. May Allah ta'ala protect our youth. Our youth are being hijacked by the agents of shaitan via the social media platform and we do not even realize it. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, if we have sons and we have daughters, revisit the whole issue. Again, carefully see what they are doing on their cell phones. Try and speak to them, communicate with them, explain to them why it is so harmful. Sometimes communication is the best way. They are intelligent. Communicate with them and explain to them why. And try and get access. Let them keep everything open. Let us be able to access everything. That way, inshallah, we'll be able to protect our children and we won't be of those who remove the safety net. And as a result, we are, you know, feeling the regret and remorse for our negligence. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ